sculptor of the Charging Bull statue on Wall Street is demanding the fearless girl, that young lady, be removed. He says his 1989 statue was supposed to represent peace, strength, and love. But the recent placement of the other statue has turned the bull into something negative, he says. And even worse, he says fearless girl is an advertising gimmick.
I was sitting at the table, we had finished dinner, we're now having dessert. And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen. And President Xi was enjoying it. And I was given the message from the generals that the ships are locked and loaded. What do you do?
The city of St. Louis filed a lawsuit Wednesday against the NFL over the Rams' relocation to Los Angeles 15 months after the team departed. The lawsuit alleges that the league violated its own relocation guidelines and enriched itself at the expense of the city, and that the Rams never intended to engage in good faith negotiations with St. Louis.
Trump says the dollar is getting too strong.
He likes the idea strong dollar because it sounds good. He loves the word strong. But given how strong our dollar is in the global economy, it currently is too expensive for other countries to want to buy our goods.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's April 13th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another business day, as we have lots to cover here on The Opening Bell. You heard in the opening montage there are lots of news happening around the world, from the little girl statue on Wall Street fighting the bull to Donald Trump and his chocolate cake. We'll try to cover a lot of it this morning here on 720 WGN. We begin first, though, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are looking to a weak open this morning on Wall Street, off about 39 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Crude oil is trading at $53.09 a barrel, just down a little bit this morning. The U.S. dollar and Treasury yield slid this morning as well. They're on track for their biggest weekly declines this year after President Trump said he would like to see interest rates stay low and that the greenback was too strong. Surprisingly strong Chinese trade figures and Trump's remarks that the United States will not name China a currency manipulator helped boost Asian stocks, but the falling dollar and bond yields weighed in on European markets. Let's look at the board this morning in Asia. The Nikkei off almost 125 points, down about 0.5%. The Hang Seng is off about a quarter. Asian Dow is off as well. Over in Europe this morning, the DAX is off almost a quarter. The FTSE is off almost 0.5%. Also this morning, the IBEX is off about 0.5% as well. All of the arrows pointing downward on the European markets. It looks like it's going to be a weak open this morning on Wall Street as well. A couple of big stories. First, the United Airlines story. United Airlines says passengers on United Flight 3411 will get compensation equal to the cost of their tickets. United spokesman Megan McCarthy says passengers can take the compensation in cash, travel, credits, or miles. Flight 3411 was scheduled to fly to Louisville, Kentucky, when that passenger was forcibly removed after the airline said it had overbooked the aircraft and wanted to remove passengers so that it could get some flight crew members on board. With the federal government and Senate committee looking into possibly legislating out the process of overbooking, some of the airlines say they're about ready to do it on their own. Airlines for America, a group representing most of the big U.S. air carriers, says the practice lets airlines keep fares low while managing the rate of no-shows on any particular route. Delta Airlines is one of the airlines that is considering this rollback, at least some of them are talking about it. We heard after this incident in Chicago, many lawmakers are considering legislation either to cover the overbooking issue or the whole process altogether of how airlines book and remove passengers from those aircraft. We begin this morning with our thought leader conversation, and we have a new member of the team in with us today to talk a little bit about how small business sentiment is on its way down. Let's welcome in Rod Murray from Associated Bank. Rod, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Good to have you here. So tell us about yourself and what you do at Associated Bank.
Sure thing. I'm currently Ad Associated running the corporate side from a group leader standpoint, so runs Chicago and Greater Illinois, as well as the offices in Ohio, Indiana, St. Louis, and recently opened Dallas as of last month.
Our expertise that we'll draw from you will be in what areas generally?
So we focus on the middle market, and that covers a lot of span or space, but generally companies that are privately and publicly held, mostly privately in this span from the $10 million in revenues to up to, say, $500 million in revenues, although we have some on each side of the other equation.
Well, very good. We look forward to having you on from time to time here on Thursday. So let's start about the big news from the week, and that is small business sentiment seems to be going south. The latest report indicated that there is some concern about the direction of things and maybe not as being as optimistic as we thought. What are you hearing in this area? What are you seeing?
The same thing. It's optimism still, but it's now optimism that is tethered with uncertainty. So uncertainty is focusing around what's happening on the regulation or deregulation, what's going to be the tax reform, what's the effect going to be on interest expense treatment, and what's going to be the effect of the CapEx spends. So a little bit of uncertainty is surrounding. So what I see in our clients, and really what that's the best way is to talk to the clients to get the firsthand information, is they've hit the pause button. And not everybody. There's still some decent M&A activity out there. There's still some entrepreneurs starting business, as we saw in one of the recent articles. That is all trending from that optimism, but there's definitely been a little bit of a pause.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things, as we delve into that a little bit further, one of the things I saw is that a lot of the businesses, small businesses and big businesses, know the plan that they want to execute, know how many people they want to hire. They're ready to pull the button. What does it translate into on the street, that hesitancy or reluctancy? What is that? How do we see that data?
Yeah. So for us, right on the banking side of things, that's translated to, you know, frankly, overall in the nation, a slow start on the commercial and industrial lending totals. It's read something recently, the eighth slowest start in the last 32 years. But a lot of that is companies are also being smarter and they're utilizing their inventories. They're pushing things off a little bit. There's still M&A activity going on out there. It's just that it's much slower to happen. It's much slower to get to the altar, so to speak.
There is lots of signs of booming business here in Chicago. The fourth quarter of last year, more businesses started up than in any other quarter in a lot of years. We pull this from Chicago Business Journal. So we're seeing that sort of evidence on the ground.
Correct. And in Chicago specifically, we still benefit from, you know, the two T's, talent and transportation. So of the last 5 years, it's in through the 2016 that you just referenced, of the 330,000 plus jobs that were created, I think 90% of them have been in the Chicago metro area. So we benefit from that on both sides of things. You know, the rest of the Midwest, the rest of the country, you know, might not be seeing that same growth.
Rod, hang on with us. We'll be back with Rod Murray. He's our thought leader this morning, this group senior vice president for commercial banking in Chicago at Associated Bank. We'll continue with our pre-dawn business conversation with Rod right after we check traffic this morning at 5:18 here on the opening bell. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we're keeping a close eye on United Airlines, United Continental Holdings, after forcible removal and the apology and all of the uproar over the passenger. United lost about 1% yesterday. It's set to open higher this morning when the opening bell rings a little bit later on, but just barely. It's 5:21.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, a further retreat for investors on Wednesday with the Dow Jones falling 59 points to close at 20,592. The S&P 500 index was off 9 points at 2345. The NASDAQ lost 31. The U.S. dollar and Treasury yields slid this morning, and they were on track for their biggest weekly declines of the year after President Trump said the greenback was too strong and he'd like to see interest rates stay low. Shares of Whole Foods Market climbed after a report from Bloomberg that Amazon had considered buying the grocery chain last fall. Whole Foods has seen six straight quarters of declining sales amid increased competition from Walmart, Kroger, and from Amazon. And United Airlines is still working to calm the outrage after a man was dragged off a flight in Chicago after announcing that it would no longer ask police to remove passengers from overbooked planes. United now says it'll compensate everyone who was on that flight. Passengers will get cash, travel credits, or miles. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 522. It's our regular Thursday Thought Leader Conversation. Rod Murray is with us this morning. He's one of our new thought leaders. He's a group senior vice president for commercial banking in Chicago. Also serves as the head of leveraged finance group for the bank. Glad to, again, have him among our thought leaders. Rod, we were talking about small business sentiment before the break, and the fourth quarter of last year in terms of business growth in Chicago was really a strong quarter, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So 2016 was one of the best quarters, and then the first quarter of 2017 has started off as one of the slowest. Again, kind of the same mentality, the pause. I think that, you know, just through February, some of the data we have, the M&A closed deals are down about 17% or so, and the line utilization is way down. I'll be really interested, Steve, to see when all of the banks come out with their earnings here this month, including ours, on what the utilization rates are on the working capital lines of credit. Because I certainly, in our world, we see it down, which means that the companies are just managing their cash well and utilizing that properly.
One of the best examples of what's happening in Chicago has to be the Fulton Market, where we're going to see McDonald's go in there. There's a lot of other things, the McDonald University, all of the associated stuff there. What are you seeing in Fulton Market? Is it really the hottest place in the city?
It's definitely been the hot spot. And then, you know, you build something like that and everything follows. So, again, back to those two T's we mentioned, the transportation and the talent. And then now you're seeing it on the West Fulton Market or the Kinzie Corridor that's following it. It's an adjacent market there, seeing a lot of food, beverage, retail join because that can be gotten at a better price than the hot Fulton Market. Mm-hmm. So that's continuing to expand out. Foot traffic is higher. So, and on top of it, in that Kinzie Corridor, you have the grant money that helps through there through the Industrial Council that spurs the light manufacturing. So a little bit of growth in both, but definitely by far the hottest market.
This would be bounded, I think, Ashland and Western Avenues to the north by Grand Avenue, to the south by Lake Street. That's generally West Fulton, right?
Correct.
So in Fulton Market, if it's tight and it's bleeding over into West Fulton Market in a good way, is it also going to bleed into other surrounding areas too?
Well, you certainly would think so. Logic would dictate that. And space availability, development availability, right? It's the hub and spoke effect. So to the extent that the zoning is appropriate in the adjacent markets around that, then the hub and spoke will continue to grow. You know, first it's going to be this West Fulton Market or the Kinzie Corridor. And after that, you know, who knows on what can be developed or redeveloped, you know, per whatever the zoning is around there.
Yeah, I asked the question and it had sort of a negative feel to it, but it's really a good problem to have, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a good problem to have. It's on our topic earlier, you know, Chicago continues to be a place that people want to be, the businesses that want to be, and that you know, companies want to call their home.
If those are the two hot areas, among the two hot areas, what are some other areas ripe for development, do you think?
Well, you know, on the development side of things, it's you know, there are some things going on in the south side, the southwest side. You know, there's a lot of money that's being looked at there. There's some grant money that's coming down. There's some private money as well as some the banks are frankly looking to lend into those markets. So I would think that should be the next one. But Steve, I don't know a timeline on that. Yeah. And, you know, when that might happen.
So if with back to the small business sentiment, if they're waiting for action, what do you think might trigger that?
So some clarity from the tax reform, some clarity from exactly how it's going to be handled. And then the banks, right, there's a huge oversupply of capital right now. You know, money is still cheap, even with the interest rates, you know, recently rising and expected to rise. So some clarity on all of the tax reform as well as what's going to happen to the banks on any deregulation that's been talked about. You know, that could spur even more you know, lending, more growth, because there are certain hierarchies that banks, you know, start to run up against. And the more things are deregulated, you know, the more they can grow when they come up against that $10 billion mark or that $50 billion mark that has different levels of scrutiny as you grow up into those levels.
Let's talk about the banking market specifically. Yeah. Over the last decade or so, the amount of consolidation here has been significant. Is that going to mean we're going to see more M&A activity?
You know, it's an interesting topic, because if you read enough, They say that there is going to be another more M&A, but you know, continuing this theme, it's almost like there's been a pause button on that side as well. I mean, you look back to 10 years ago, there were, 260 banks, I believe, in the Chicagoland area. And now there's of under $1 billion in assets, and now there's just over 100. So a lot of that has been due to some M&A, but I think the banks have put the pause on that as well, because also waiting for how much profit are we going to get from the rate increases, even though spreads are tightening a little bit. What is the deregulation going to be, and how does that affect us? That being said, you know, certainly, if you read enough economists' forecasts, they believe that 2017 and into 2018, there'll continue to be M&A in the banking space.
For our listeners who are not up to the lingo, M&A is mergers and acquisitions.
Yes, thank you.
So what does this mean on this, again, on the street, if you see all of this merging and consolidation happening? Does that make your job harder or easier?
It, you know, makes it more challenging, I would say. In some spaces, it can make it easier, and in some places, harder. There's if the technology spend that then gets consolidated when banks get together and merge or are acquired, you know, so that gives them more breadth and depth on the technology spend. However, it disrupts things. You know, I mean, we just got talking about Chicago and how, you know, Chicago has 106 banks that are still, you know, viewed as small business. Mm-hmm. I mean, New York and LA, they have 83 and 53, yes, and they're certainly bigger markets than we are. People want to still have their local decision making, their local banking. So it can create opportunities as well as some challenges.
And for a bank like Associated Bank, it also creates opportunities to set yourself apart from the crowd, find more ways to compete and do well by your clients.
Absolutely. So that's, you know, the latter of my statement there, is that do well by your clients. I mean, if you advise your clients and service the heck out of them, then that's going to stand above in the crowd.
If for the folks who are the clients, when they do get a good deal, good service from Associated Bank, do you find them becoming loyal instead of going to those competitors?
Sure thing. And thanks for asking that. It's exactly what we see and what we want, and I think what the clients want. You know, everybody saw the 2008-2009, and loyalty becomes a big factor on both sides, both ways. So the more loyal a client is, you know, to us, the more loyal we're going to be to them. I mean, you have to be there in good times and bads. And while we have shareholders and et cetera, you know, you have to service the heck out of the clients in order to stand above the crowd.
So here we are in the season of spring. I'm hearing from you health and optimism. Those are great things.
Absolutely. Well said.
Rod, good chatting with you. Thanks again for coming in, and welcome to our thought leader cadre.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Rod Murray joined Associated Bank in 2010. He's currently the vice president there for commercial banking in Chicago and serves as the head of the leveraged finance group for Associated Bank. Our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz. And our thought leaders are ready to answer your questions. Send them along via email at thoughtleader@WGNradio.com. That's thoughtleader@WGNradio.com. We'll compile the questions and get them ready for a future episode of The Opening Bell.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 540. Glad to have you along for our Thursday edition this morning. It's not been a couple of good weeks for some top brands and government, including Pepsi, Delta Airlines, United Airlines, and, well, Sean Spicer at the White House. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. United Airlines still in crisis mode this morning. Lissa Dress-Christman is with Serafin & Associates here in Chicago. She's a communications strategist in public affairs, crisis communications, and public relations. Lissa, good to have you here on The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
So were you, were you reacting when all of this started happening and you saw this unfolding in real time?
I think the appropriate reaction right now is hashtag shaking my head.
Yeah, I was telling you before we came on this morning that I was watching some of your colleagues in other places of the country and other companies rewriting these statements that United was making and all of this stuff. What should they have done from the get-go?
At any time when there is a quote-unquote crisis, or if you think there's something wrong, it probably is wrong, acknowledge that something is happening. And granted, this was a Sunday night. Maybe they were a little thin on the airport staff. Maybe they're a little thin in the corporate staff, whatever it was. But someone there probably thought, this isn't right. Something's not right here. Maybe we should get some more people involved. And they didn't acknowledge the incident to begin with. Now, I understand about litigation and possible lawsuits, and we see that probably unfolding today, start of it today. But there's a way that you can acknowledge that something is happening or something, they're looking into it, without getting into what could possibly be litigation.
So there were a couple of strikes here where you would think that would happen immediately. So the first thing that Oscar Munoz would have said was, hey, we're sorry, this shouldn't have happened. That's not what he did, though. And it went three times almost before they were really a firm apology.
It could have been too early to say, I'm sorry, because he probably truly didn't know all the facts, and all the facts are still unraveling. But the word of the week, I think, is reaccommodate.
Right.
And as soon as that was in his first statement, which happened, 12, 14 hours after the incident? Mm-hmm. First of all, that's too late. And then the choice of words that United used on Twitter was, again, I was shaking my head, reaccommodate. I'm sorry we had to reaccommodate those passengers. That's, I think, the beginning of the rub. And that was the wound that was open, and salt keeps getting poured into it.
How bad is this for United? I know he was on Good Morning America yesterday. The interview seemed to be a sincere one where he apologized again, said this would never happen again at United. But has the damage been done for United?
Well, I will tell you this, that humans are forgiving. And look, humans have forgiven Marv Albert, right, and President Bill Clinton, and things that have happened that are wrong in life. Humans are forgiving. United has a very strong, stable background, a strong name. And eventually, I don't believe this airline is going to fold because of it, but there is going to be some, you know, a long time of repair. But this was also a bad week because United started their online campaign, United Journey, hashtag United Journey. And that was not a great time to start an online marketing campaign, because if you go through all the Twitter, the hashtags on this hashtag title, obviously people are having fun with that as well.
Right. From a crisis communication standpoint, do you ever want to see your client mocked in an ad on late night television?
That would be no.
Yeah, the Jimmy Kimmel stuff, some of the late night stuff was really, really hard on United, but it brought more people, it seems, out to tell their stories. We heard yesterday of a passenger out in Hawaii on United that was handcuffed and removed from a plane. So this must not be a one-off.
Again, we were talking off air. There are going to be incidents that are coming out. Oh, that happened to me. Oh, that happened to me. Oh, that happened to me, which is fine. But I want to go back to something that you're talking about in the crisis world. You know, when something like this happens, this is about human relations on two sides, both how this passenger was treated, how United acted, and how the CEO acted. And hiding behind a keyboard sometimes isn't the best thing to do. I'm glad he came out on TV and did finally give a statement, and we saw his emotion, but he should have done that Monday morning. Even if he just said, we have an incident we are very concerned about, we are looking into it, we are taking every angle possible to figure out what happened and figure out how this won't happen again. Clearly something wasn't right here. None of what I just said could be damaging in court, but put human relations behind something like this, and this is something that United didn't do.
Yeah, and from a financial standpoint, I mentioned in the opening Delta Airlines, because Delta Airlines has not had a good couple of weeks either with storms and cancellations and delays, but reading up on this, they've been compensating passengers above and beyond to try to make things good. Is that the other option here for when these things happen, is you do everything you can to make it right immediately?
Kill them with kindness.
Right.
Without doing anything stupid, but kill them with kindness. The other thing is, this was not an overbooked situation, as first reported. The CEO came out yesterday and said the flight was not overbooked. Everyone was on the plane. And then the four employees of the regional carrier came up and said, we needed to get on the plane. So this is, and I read through the contract of carriage document for United Airlines this morning. And nowhere does it clearly state why they can forcibly remove a person who didn't apparently do anything wrong.
Yeah. And actually, to the contrary, it actually seems to say that if you're actually on the plane,
correct,
you've already met the standard and you can't be taken off. You'd be denied boarding.
Right.
I mean, I think the only reason you'd be pulled off a plane is if you were doing something illegal, like being a terrorist or something.
Well, and the refusal of transport part of the document, they do say things about carrying an illegal weapon, or if you're ill or things like that. Yes, they can force you off a plane. But apparently he had done nothing wrong. But at the end of the day, the procedure that they did it is just still shaking my head, mind-boggling.
Yeah, and I wonder if the difference is between the regular United line of planes that you would have that's not the regional carrier and the regional carrier. I wonder if there's a difference there in the way the two behave.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you see officers, not Chicago Police Department officers, but Department of Aviation officers, forcibly dragging a man sitting in a window seat over the armrest. They didn't even pull up the armrest. He's got to have a heck of a bruise on his left leg. And however he fell and hit his head is however he fell and hit his head. But what is natural about that? What is right about that?
So Pepsi had this situation with this commercial. We've had the United legging thing before, other issues. I saw somebody actually joke online, but it seems real, that why isn't there a Darwin Award for brands? The Darwin Award being the most stupid things you can possibly do. What happens at a big brand like Pepsi? Are they tone deaf to things, or do they not run these out and test them? How did we get to that point?
In the Pepsi situation, they thought it was a good idea. And yes, there are people, there are very educated, experienced people within these corporations that do these things. It's just one thing, you know, sometimes you're in it too deep, you're in your four walls too much, and sometimes you lose that outside perspective of how is this going to shake out. Speaking of awards, United's CEO, Oscar Munoz, was named Communicator of the Week by the trade publication PR Week. He's not getting that award anymore.
They took it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny you mention that, too, because when he did finally come out and start talking, you felt a little bit more compassion. I did, at least. He's a good communicator. I think he when he came out and laid it out, I was like, okay, fine.
But keep going.
Right, keep going.
You know, just keep putting that human relations out there. I wish it would have been on more than one station, more than one interview. Get more out of him. Get more emotion out of him. Because while it was good that he went on Good Morning America, you know that's timed. You know that's a short segment.
Right.
And that's all you have. The more opportunity you get to manage your message, to get that out there, that's what they should be doing. And they're not managing their message. It was, we're out, we're going back in.
How is social media? It seems social media has become the new Consumer Protection Bureau, because something happens and immediately you can go from doing okay to losing $1 billion in a day if you're United. Talk to me a little bit about social media's impact in all of this.
There's a lot of research done, and there's a company called Socioeconomic that I believe 75% of those on the internet trust peer recommendations and trust things on the social media more than they trust advertising and marketing campaigns. So it's that peer recommendation, it's that person to person, that unilateral. That's what social media is. And when I go back to having a heartbeat, there are people behind these things that are pushing it, not just a paid advertising campaign. That's why social media is so important today, is the marketing aspect of it, as well as controlling a message or not controlling a message in this case.
How hard does it make your job? Because in cases like this, you have cameras and phones. It's instantly publicized.
There are cameras everywhere. You know, Tom Serafin and I talk about this all the time. You walk down the street, you're being videotaped. Whether you're doing anything or not, there are cameras everywhere. And clearly, everyone at United should have known that there are cameras everywhere. And in fact, what apparently is going to come out, or came out yesterday, is the lawyers for this injured man are already requesting to preserve cockpit flight tape recordings, surveillance cameras in the airport, everything that they can to preserve any type of evidence that will show what happened.
That can't be good. Do you think this will end up becoming a class action sort of thing, or just for him only?
I don't have my lawyer hat on today, and I don't want to predict the future, but I will tell you that this will be news fodder to come for a long time, and social media fodder for a long time to come.
Lissa, good to see you this morning, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Lissa Dress Christmas is with Serafin & Associates here in Chicago. Her specialty, public affairs, crisis communication, and public relations.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are still negative, looking for a lower open on Wall Street now, off about 39 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Crude oil is down $53.08 a barrel. Gold and silver are trading a little bit higher this morning. A couple of other stories that we're watching for you this morning. A couple of Mideast airlines are having fun at United Airlines' expense. Dubai-based Emirates released an ad after that video went viral of that passenger being forcibly removed. The slogan, using the slogan, "Fly the friendly skies this time for real," is what Emirates Airlines put out. Royal Jordanian tweeted a no-smoking picture saying, "Drags on our flights are strictly prohibited by passengers and crew." And Qatar Airlines is getting on the gag, too. An update on its iPhone app says it does not support drag and drop. We take care of customers as we unite them with their destinations. So United taking the heat not only from passengers, but from its colleagues and competitors as well. President Trump says he does not would not declare China a currency manipulator to help win a trading deal with North Korea. The developments in this geopolitical dance are impacting markets today around the world and here at home. The dance between Washington and Beijing follows a summit last week between Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. A phone call late Tuesday also helped put this into perspective. The U.S. and China is pressing China over their trade imbalance in North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Speaking of that, there is some indication that North Korea may test a nuclear weapon within the next 24 or 48 hours. Foreign reporters had been gathered there early this morning for what the government indicated would be a big event. We've not heard an update yet about what that might be. Now, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, April 13th, 2017, the Labor Department will report today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. The department will also release a report on U.S. producer price inflation for March. Freddie Mac will report on the weekly average U.S. mortgage rates. And three large financial institutions begin releasing their quarterly results this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase is out of the gate first, Citigroup and Wells Fargo to follow. On this day that will include bank earnings, the start of bank earnings season. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, April 13th, 2017. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning on 720 WGN and in the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. And the opening bell will return again tomorrow for another edition. Please join us then. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.